I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sports ad free. That's amazon.com/sports ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking hour?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble. The Premier League sides fought off the Football League challengers in the FA Cup. Millwall and Swansea are through too, and Pete has a new fancy. Good day, everybody. The customary Pete Donaldson noise, and I won't tell you how that noise is created to start the show.
Because no one knows.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Oh, I just see Jim.
I've got a frog under my arm.
I just see Jim lean over, and then he makes that noise. Mm.
I expect you to fly south when you make that sort of noise.
well, he has done, and he stayed here.
Mm. Yeah, that's true.
I worked out. I've lived outside of Hartlepool longer than I've lived inside Hartlepool. So
is that right?
Recently.
It's boring, isn't it?
Not really. Not when you're watching Brock Britton, a TV show about Hartlepudlians and the mess they're in now I've left.
Yeah, is that still you?
Are you going to go back and save them?
I'm going to sort them out. I'm going to become... there was once a no-nonsense police constable or head of the police in Hartlepool. Don't give me that face.
I'm interested.
Called Ray Mallon, who basically decided he was going to be a tough-talking, no-nonsense police commissioner who was going to revolutionise policing in Hartlepool and the North East in general. And he basically said it was going to be like the New York of the 80s. He was going to clean those streets up. Ray Mallon! Let's sort out Hartlepool's crime.
And is he in prison himself yet?
No, I think he was the mayor for a bit.
Right, is that the end of the story?
Oh, yeah.
I thought something was going to happen.
Yeah. Is he still?
He was killed in a shootout.
Thank you.
There we go.
Is he still knocking about?
I don't know where Ray Mallon's gone. If anybody knows, email in shortthefootballarmour.com. Where is Northeast hero Ray Mallon?
Put Ray Mallon in the subject line so we don't get confused, so we don't get confused with the best bet.
Yeah.
And if you are someone thinking about doing the best bet who's called Ray Mallon, email me individually so we can sort it out.
best Ray Mallon.
Yeah.
Put that in the title.
Best Ray Mallon, in the northeast area.
As loathed as I am, we must move on from this to the FA Cup, of course. The favourites, Manchester City. I haven't actually checked if they're favourites. I'm just assuming that they are. They are through and have ended Newport's incredible run in the Cup.
It was an incredible run.
Had Newport have gone through, obviously we're thinking, had they have a more favourable draw, you know, it would be the first time since 1990 that a fourth tier side had reached the quarterfinals. You know, that's how big this was, Jim.
Playing
that's how
it, big in a, it was. In a World War One trench. Yeah. That's what it sounded like.
Took some scalps. Took Middlesbrough. Took Leicester. Took Wrexham.
They
got their goal as well.
And people were right off the Wrexham result, which was achieved after a replay. It's a derby, mate.
It is.
A Welsh derby of sorts.
If that header had gone in.
Oh, no. Mm. No, they could have been dreaming, couldn't they? Backinson. What a chance. I mean, I suppose it was a difficult one to take. He generated as much power as he could and Edison clawed it away. But when that happened, you thought to yourself, no, surely not. And of course it wasn't.
I feel like I don't want to be critical because it's not a time to be critical. They've bowed out gracefully. But I feel like he should have got more power on that header.
Yeah.
Get those neck muscles pumping.
I know. When he did...
height. Just give us height. Get under it a bit more.
It fell into that classic football coverage cliched zone of the keeper made a good save, but he shouldn't have been allowed to make that save. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He should have been dealt with.
He shouldn't be allowed to have that smiley face.
Because the thing is, and the key point here is, if that had gone in, they would have also lost 4-1.
Yeah.
So,
it would have been 4-2,
maybe
4-2, obviously.
Maybe 4-2.
But I think that at least they were in it until the break. You know,
half time, you're thinking this is a game on here.
Yeah, exactly.
51 minutes. And that is brilliant. Like that's something to take from the game. They got the goal as well, which is brilliant. I feel for Joe Day, like, because he left the last round immediately, didn't he, to come and see his wife because she was giving birth, and he played like a man that's not had a lot of sleep. A couple of those, it's like
got his nose broken. That was a bit
indeed.
Far.
Yeah, I know.
Like, and did you see Sally broke his nose with a football? Fair enough. Yeah. Part of the game.
Cool.
Or part of the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune, as they say. But then Sanea, then after that, had another shot which hit him right on the nose again. He's already got a lot of tissue paper up there,
Sanea, why don't you try and score?
Yes.
Yeah, without taking out the keeper.
Good and vindictive Leroy Sanea is.
Yeah, that's a fair point.
He ranks goals just slightly below the rearranging of another football player's face.
Yeah, if you can deflect one in off of a broken nose, then great.
It's better, yeah.
Exactly, yeah. But they had their moments, as we say. And I think that's it for Newport. They're playing Manchester City, for crying
out loud.
The fact is, they had a moment in the first half that, yes, of course we would have preferred it to go in at half time. It's 0-0. Even when they got it back to 2-1, you know, the fans essentially were allowed to sort of dream for a large section of that 90 minutes. And we talk about this with England in football tournaments. Just give us a moment. At all. You can say that they did that.
You have to give Newport their praise for their thriftiness as well, because it's the only club I know that is growing the potatoes for the staff canteen in the same place they play the football. Yeah, so that's why the pitch is so bad.
Yeah.
Because they're digging out all the potatoes from it.
I mean
it's literally a potato patch.
If they were playing...
That pitch was the worst pitch I've seen this season.
It was and they probably
watered
it. Just to upset them.
They water every pitch, Pete. Every pitch gets watered.
Yeah, but overwatered.
Talk about Deso Hybrid.
They need to butter up the pitch if it's...
get greasy. Salt and pepper. Get some baked beans on there.
But they have
Imagine that. Imagine you got the pitch of baked beans everywhere.
I can't imagine.
There's no rule against it.
Sounds like
you don't know that.
No, I don't know that.
Sounds like a very special porno. Manchester City.
Not everything is a very special porno.
Jim, you know fully
that's
well.
Probably not true. Peter, back to Newport.
I think Man City, if they were playing any other top division side, they probably wouldn't have gone with a lot of their main team effectively.
Hey, Phil Foden started. Have some respect.
Well, I'd say I love the way Phil Foden, after Newport got the goal, he just went, oh, for God. It was like he spitefully just took the ball, went past a couple of players, stuck it in there.
Yep. Yeah.
So there you go. I'm off to Bayern Munich. No, it's the other one.
Yeah, I like the fact that had Fernandinho not played, it would have really shown as well. They're so over-reliant on him in that position, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, I've heard that a lot. I feel they'd have had enough to see the game out, I've got to be honest.
The annoying thing is, Jim, we'll never know.
Nah.
Yeah. We will never, ever know. Yeah, but a great win. And it was nice to see Phil Foden score a couple of goals. Yeah. I'd like to see him play more in the league, perhaps.
Everyone's saying that, but I mean, he is 18.
Yeah.
I mean, 18. Like, well, that's such a young...
Pele won the World Cup at... 11, mate.
Yeah,
so.
I know.
It was 17.
Yeah, exactly. What's your point, Jim?
The point is, he's still very young. There's a lot of good players in front of him, and he's doing everything he should be doing at this point, and seeming to bide his time.
Sorry, Jim,
so it's actually a bloody sensible point. Thank you very much.
Are you saying that him and Pele are the same human being or not? I don't think they are.
No, they're not. They're different men.
Okay, yeah. But
Pele's real name, because you know Brazilians have nicknames.
Yeah,
Pele's real name is Philip Foden.
Is that right?
De Nascimento.
Big Phil. They called him for a while.
I didn't realise that two things. Max Power. His middle name is Macaulay, so Max Mac.
He doesn't play for Newport or Man City.
I know.
Yeah.
All right. Well, the team that went out last round was Middlesbrough, and who is the manager of Middlesbrough?
Tony Pulis.
Exactly. What's his son called?
Anthony Pulis.
It's Tony Pulis. Yes. Yeah. Disgusting.
Boy
What's wrong with that?
Disgusting behaviour.
Why didn't you say this the other week when we were talking about them?
George Foreman's
bringing it up now.
Okay. George Foreman's got seven kids and they're all named George.
And he's mad.
Yeah, he is mad.
He puts his name on everything.
He does.
Yeah. Oh my goodness.
Anyway, it was a lovely Saturday afternoon, wasn't it?
It was indeed, yeah.
Did you see Pep Guardiola's post-match? It was disrupted by a fire alarm. He was very upset about it.
Oh, wow. I bet he was. Oh, yeah. Do you know what? I love Guardiola, the fact that they've just beaten Newport in the cup, you know, League Two opposition, and he was still purring.
Yeah.
He's like, you know, we did so well, you know, absolutely loved it. He loves football. He's such a scholar of the game. He doesn't care who it is, what competition. He absolutely loves it. And just very quickly, you're right about Phil Foden, Jimmy. You would back Guardiola to get it right in terms of his development and putting him in bit by bit into the side.
I saw somebody on Twitter, so apologies for not name checking you if you listen to the show, but someone
Donald Trump.
It wasn't Donald Trump. No, someone did sort of crunch the numbers and looked at the 18-year-olds playing in the top leagues in Europe and sort of the minutes they have, and you know, Phil Foden's right up there. Okay. Like Jadon Sancho's obviously a little bit of an outlier, but
Vinicius must be right. He's 18.
Yeah, yeah, he was one.
Those two are exceptional. Exceptional.
Yeah. There's only sort of 20. I think it was 26 players at all that have featured in total.
Yeah, and someone was making the point. I think I must have seen a reply to that tweet, because I saw someone using that as a bit of evidence around the fact that Callum Hudson-Odoi should be playing more. So Jadon Sancho's doing this and Vinicius Junior's doing this. I mean, those two are exceptional.
Yeah.
I mean, no one knows, literally no one knows whether Callum Hudson-Odoi is as good as those players, because he hasn't played enough. And he hasn't played enough senior football. Before we move on from the Newport game, I just wanted to make a quick comment about Mike Flynn, the manager. Did you see him before the game?
What was it? Remind me.
I thought it was really... I don't want to be harsh on him, but I thought it was quite inappropriate that he was in the tunnel before the game with Pep Guardiola, and the cameras were on him, it was live, and he was saying, oh, I'm very proud to meet you. I think you're an absolute genius and all this other stuff. And I thought, I don't know if I want to... If I wouldn't want my manager saying that before a game.
It's
a gladiatorial contest.
Yeah, I agree with
you. You've got to have at least an idea that you want to win the
game. It's not quite Burton Albion, is it?
No, but I think it's the wrong message. I absolutely do it after the game.
Yeah.
But it's the wrong message before.
I completely agree.
Yeah. I mean, could that be that he just didn't know the cameras were on and...
Or maybe he got wind that Man City were going to get the hell out of there right after the full-time whistle.
Maybe, Newport didn't get a booking either, by the way.
Yeah, but they put up a good
kick
fight.
Kick him in.
What is
Can't
it
reach him on that pitch. That you've got?
Yeah. Well, I think I told you. That,
too many baked beans in the
I
way.
I mean, it's something to do with the 9-0 scoreline, Jim. I think that Newport, they didn't concede until the 51st minute, and they were still in the contest. They managed to pull one back. So with regards to no bookings, their performance suggested that they dug deep and so on and so
Pep,
forth.
Pep Guardiola will constantly, though, in every round of the FA Cup until it gets to play in the Premier League side, he will go into the opponent's dressing room afterwards and go,
get a load of me.
Oh, well done, guys.
Look at this jumper.
Pat. Yeah, I just want him one time. Just go in there and go, wank a sign.
He's got a special
rubbish
jumper that he wears just for that as well.
I think he probably did with Mourinho's Real Madrid.
Maybe, yeah.
Cool. All right, then. Let's move on then to Bristol City versus Wolves. Wolves won 1-0. City gave Wolves a big old scare at the end. And we were treated to one of my favourite moments of the weekend when Frank Fielding, the goalkeeper, had a shot saved by his fellow goalkeeper, John Ruddy.
There was nowhere that was ever going to get anywhere near the goal. There was four men behind
again,
the goalkeeper.
Again, Peter, we will never know.
We will know.
Thanks to Ruddy.
Peter, stop trying to burst people's balloons.
I love a keeper that comes off.
Doesn't
I love a keeper
like
that
mate.
Gets a chance. Doesn't I'm always going like on about Kashrus Michael doing that overhead kick for Notts County that one time and hit the bar. Like
it went over the bar, never hit the bar.
Yeah, all right.
All right, mate. What do you want? VAR?
No, I've seen him in.
VAR would have said
dragon.
It was a goal.
Way of the Dragon, not Enter the Dragon.
but it was a good moment. But Bristol City. Oh, go on, Jimmy.
So what I assume Pete was going to go on to say was when a team
That's
brings
a
goalkeeper
assumption.
Up, whoever takes the corner more often than not aims for the goalkeeper, even though they're the least likely person to have the skills to score. Use the goalkeeper as a decoy.
Yeah.
But they never do it.
That's true. Although goalkeepers usually are quite big, so maybe they're seeing one of the more taller players in there.
I know, but. It,
I agree with you.
Do people's brains become that simple at the end of a game?
But hit the sphere at the big thing and it go in the net.
I love in the over tacticked, complicated game that is modern football.
Oh, yeah.
That people still go, put the keeper up there.
Yeah, cool.
It's cause mayhem. And it does cause mayhem.
I think that's it.
I don't understand how it's even possible.
Yeah, I know what you mean. But I love that, though, that the big man up top. I mean, plucking one from left field, we talk about Pep Guardiola. That time when he would put Piqué up front against Inter, was it, in the semi-final of the Champions League? It came to that. Sometimes in football, it's all stripped away. And it's like, big man, high ball, come on.
But
it shouldn't be the first port of call.
The other thing about sending the keeper up is that there's no point... I can't quite remember if Bristol City did this, but there's no point sending the keeper up if you're then going to put another man on the keeper.
Right.
Because what you should do when you send the goalkeeper up, don't put any man on the keeper. Yeah. Then you've got a man over because the keeper can't mark anyone.
Yeah.
Right. So you're then creating a one man over situation. If you send the goalkeeper up and then put your striker on the keeper, which is what a lot of teams do, you're completely defeating the object. What you're doing is substituting a good header of the ball, probably, for one who hardly ever headers
it. So put the keeper on the keeper.
Put the keeper on the keeper.
Love that. Yes.
Keeper on keeper action. Another porno.
Subcategory of porn.
But it was a good win for Wolves. It was a hard fought one. We knew it was going to be tough because Bristol City had won 9 on the spin. They were
superb in that second half. They were camped out in the Wolves half.
I know, eh?
I think the keeper might have been at fault for Cavaliere's goal, do you reckon?
Yeah,
a little bit better, maybe.
Kind of close to him.
A bit soft on it.
That's why he went out for the corner. Got to make him in.
It was a bit annoying from Bristol City's point of view because, the ball... When Doherty jinked down the wing and cut it?
He got a bit lucky.
He did get fortunate, but when the finish went in, it just a little bit soft, and it's always going to be difficult against Premier League sides, especially Wolves, who are rather canny.
I think Nuno Espirito,
he was delighted to get out of there with the win.
He played that really well, didn't he? He gave Bristol a lot of respect, and you could see that actually he was aware of that form that Bristol were in. And
Bristol
that
City, not Bristol. There's two teams in Bristol.
All right.
Yeah, don't be mean. Don't be disrespectful to Bristol.
It's all right. He was about to say Bristol City.
We'll have the Bristol Athletic fans on our back.
Yeah, you're going to pull that up every time someone says Newcastle. There are more Uniteds.
You were saying that the Nuno Espirito Santo was delighted to get out of there with a win, and you said that he was giving a lot of respect for Bristol City.
Yeah, he was giving a lot of respect.
Does he respect Arsenal fans?
And he shouldn't.
No, are they even still going, by the way?
It's called AFTV now, isn't it? But there's they're making less noise.
Anyway, they're like a single issue pressure group, and that issue's been solved.
Are you comparing them to the Brexit Party?
No.
Okay.
No, I'm not.
Probably best. Right, Jim. Yes, but Santo, very pleased. And Wolves going well.
Yeah, indeed. Well, but what was starting to say, before being repeatedly interrupted.
Jeremy Corbyn, I
think he saw that this wasn't going to be a simple case of a Premier League side against a Championship side. He was going to have to approach this with a game you'd have to nick, effectively, and a result that you'd have to grind out. And I think he did that, and that shows the sort of versatility that he has.
Yeah, and he looked delighted as well to come away with it.
And rightly so, because it's a potential upset, this one.
Yes, exactly. Wolves are on course for the best top flight finish since 1981. They're in the quarterfinals of the Cup. The last time they won the Cup was in 1960. And people, because of the larger sides dominating the FA Cup and the Premier League being the big behemoth that it is, you can forget how important the FA Cup actually is. And if Wolves won the FA Cup, it would be absolutely massive.
And time of recording, because of course Man United play Chelsea tonight, so they've obviously got an extra game to play. Wolves are joint second favourites.
See, there you go, you see.
Got a chance.
They've got a chance.
But Man City are very, very firm favourites.
You would expect that, wouldn't you? Yes. What about Watford? They've got to be in the conversation, haven't they, for a slight outside chance? Because, as we say, Man City and one of Manchester United and Chelsea will be in the next round. It was another hard-fought victory for the away Premier League side. They scored with their only shot on target, Kapoe, of course, and it rode their luck at times. QPR will be very disappointed. A missed opportunity for them, especially as it wouldn't have gone to a replay. It would have gone to extra time. And with the home crowd and had they have scored late on, which they should have done.
It was a terrible game, though.
With Tony Leicester.
It really was.
So boring.
It was. But QPR will feel that they should have at least scored in the game. Do you not think?
Maybe I'm biased because they knocked Pompey out in the last round.
That could be it.
But I
Aurelio Gomez was man of the match. The Watford.
No, and I understand that. I'm not trying to denigrate QPR's performance. I'm just saying, And I suppose it being
I'm not arguing
bad,
it being not boring.
A bad game suited QPR because yeah. Watford would have been the favourites,
yeah.
and I get all that. But it was the goals just before half time, wasn't it? And that yeah. was the only really thing that kept me watching.
Yeah.
Because at that point, I was thinking, God, just get this over with. Let's just get this over with. Extra time and this. To be fair, I was thinking that in the round before when I went to Loftus Road to see them against Portsmouth. I was getting to the point where I was thinking, I'd just take a defeat over extra time of this because another half an hour of this rubbish. I'm not getting sitting through that.
I enjoyed the woman telling Mariappa to sit down while he was warming up.
Is that she?
Sit down. She was in the crowd and like Mariappa was just standing in front of her. She was like, sit down.
Can't see. Yeah.
That's excellent. Blimey. Gomez on his 38th birthday though. Man of the match for him. He was delighted. Made a great save from Wales.
He did.
Most likely going to retire at the end of the season. That's what he said recently in an interview.
He's had a good career.
He has had a good career.
The octopus.
Yeah, you can forget about old Gomez. And he had a rick in him, especially when he was playing for Spurs. But my goodness, a great end.
Yeah, on his day, though. I mean,
it's fantastic. But a proper South American goalkeeper.
Yeah.
Oh, I think we have a tradition in goalkeeping generally where the best ones are completely mad. Mm. And he definitely had a bit of that about him. For
yeah,
sure.
he could make some saves and maybe make a penalty save or something. And you would talk about match-winning saves. You know, that save was worth however many points and so on. And then he could make a little mistake. I don't want to be too harsh on him, but obviously that would cost them a...
Well, he hasn't retired yet, so you can stick the boot in if you want. Just don't do it when he retires.
I just look forward to
why is that? Because he'll have more time on his hands and maybe come looking for him.
I just think when players retire, it's the moment to be nice about them, right?
Mm,
it's like when an outgoing prime minister or whatever, you've got to really be nice. Otherwise, you look really out of order.
That seems outdated.
You look a bit childish, don't you? If you do that. But when he's still playing, stick the boot in.
Yeah,
but he makes mistakes all the time.
He was man, 38th birthday, man of the match, clean sheet.
Love that.
Not too shabby.
Same age as me.
Better than your 38th birthday, wasn't it, Peter?
He's not 38 yet.
Yeah, exactly.
April.
Yeah. What do you know about Pete's upcoming birthday?
I'm just assuming.
What have you got planned? You're going to do about a cake all nudie.
All hairy now.
That film.
I won't be eating that cake.
Save it for myself. All right, let's go for a quick break. We'll see you in just a moment.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Such an exquisite touch from a big man.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody. It's now time for emails with the soon-to-be 38-year-old Peter Donaldson.
38-year-old. That's me. Hello to, Lachlan Town.
What?
From Brisbane, Australia.
So his name is Lachlan Town.
That's or amazing, it's a town in in the area
of
Brisbane.
Football
that's
team,
no.
That's what he's written, Lachlan Town.
Mark, is it you used to play for their reserves?
That was Lachlan United.
That's it. Yeah.
It was a Bristol Rovers.
I'll get that confused. I'll get upset. I'll get a picture. I'll get annoyed with me.
So I was thinking about how players get testimonials from their clubs to cap off an amazing career. I can think of Michael Carrick and Wayne Rooney, just to name a few. Well, you've named two. So whenever Mike Dean finishes sassing Premier League footballers and finally hangs up his no-look yellow cards, how does he go out? With a flipping bang, that's for sure. Imagine a Mike Dean testimonial when he marshals a game with the players he loved the most. You'd have to have it at Wembley. I can picture him getting cheered off by Sergio Aguero and Harry Kane. It would be nearly like them paying homage to the great man for all years of bants, sass, and of course, penalties awarded. That's something I personally would enjoy and wouldn't put past the big man, the ultimate centre stage for the man who is the centre stage.
Oh, I don't think Mike Dean would enjoy that.
Do you reckon, no?
Like I said, I think that he should be given a cup final for his last game. No, I think it should be like a retiring legend's testimonial, so he can then just ruin it.
Yeah, like send off a legend. Send off a legend immediately. Would Kalina have had like a testimonial or something? That's probably the most well known.
Testimonials are a good way of showing how much football's changed, because back in the day, testimonials used to be to raise money for the player in their retirement.
Yeah.
Now the players are essentially at the top level. The players are now obliged to give the money to charity.
That's right.
So Michael Carrick will be for his charity, and I think Ryan Giggs was the same.
Yeah.
These days, I mean, I always
feel bad when celebrities go on like celebrity quiz shows and they always have to give the money to charity.
Yeah,
when
a lot of them you think could do with the money.
Could do with the money. I think they still get fees, but still.
Mike Dean's testimonial should be he plays football on his own and there are 22 referees.
Mm. Yeah, I like that. Yeah, I think that's it.
Yeah, so I think that's what you like.
Yeah, it's old. You do get those play with a legend things now as well. Maybe we'll go on to that.
Yeah.
Like you can be refereed by Mike Dean on your stag do.
Nice.
Imagine that. He stays with you all day as ref.
Can you give
him and Aggie Agbonlahor?
Can you give Gabby Agbonlahor some money so I can play football with him?
He's put his prices up.
Liam Lau Fernandez. Hello, Liam. Wagwan, Ramblers. Thought I'd tell you about this little encounter. I was having brunch with my mum and dad at our small local cafe when none other than Paul Clement walked through the door. In a full England tracksuit.
Oh!
He saw us
trying to put out the feet.
Dropping a hint.
He saw us ogling him, so...
Oh, this wasn't like an Avram Grant situation.
No. he hadn't popped out of a parlour of ill repute.
Okay.
He saw us ogling him, so nodded at us and threw us a room temperature, all right, on his way to the counter. As we were on our way, my dad, being my dad, said, "Hi, Paul," and shook his hand before confessing to him we're all Reading fans. Paul's face dropped with guilt. He said, "Tough job. I didn't have a good time there." We briefly talked about our 4-0 loss to Sheffield United the day before and discussed how he thought we'd be safe because Rotherham were worse than us.
What a depressing encounter.
It really
is,
isn't it?
This is the most depressing encounter from any listener
I've
ever heard.
This is the overcooked fried egg of a cafe experience, isn't it? It's horrible. We kept it short to let him return to his breakfast with his daughter. Overall, he was perfectly amicable and it reminded me managers are still human and it can't be easy to get around the amount of stick they do. But come on, Paul, mate, you don't have yourself running around in a full England tracksuit.
Yeah.
We wish him best for the future. Paul is currently unemployed.
Yeah.
Thank you for that.
It's a bit of a dig at the end.
Yeah.
So many people, mate. Zero hours contracts.
I can't remember who wrote this on, but thank you very much, whoever it was. Hi, lads. Just a quick email that could simply tell you guys that in a very un-Fulhamish manner, a Wolves fan this week was banned for all games for 3 years for dropping a pie onto the head of a West Ham fan.
Dropped it.
Dropping.
A hot pie. The prosecutor said she was in a relationship that had broken down. She did something she would not normally dream of doing. She is very sorry.
Yeah.
Oh,
I think so as well.
Ever thrown a pie in sadness?
I haven't, but dropping a pie is...
There's something
normally
very maudlin about that, though, isn't
it?
You're so sad, you can't even hold your pie.
Do you know what
anymore?
It's like? Yeah. It's like walking down the beach in the summer and seeing a dropped ice cream face down. You think some kids have this day ruined.
But dropping it on somebody, but I'd like to know where the West Ham fan was, because if she dropped it on the floor and they were lying down, their head was there. I mean, that's...
Upper tier, mate.
He's got to be upper tier.
If you're unaware of that, I mean, if a hot pie breaks on your head when you've got no idea it's coming, that's got to be a quite distressing experience.
It's quite hot,
I had a chicken bolty pie at Wembley a couple of weeks ago. And it was
piping hot.
Oh, mate. I know it's been done to death with Alan Partridge now, but honestly, it's unfathomable how hot they get them.
They're under those lights all day.
Yeah, I don't understand how they're so hot.
Yeah.
You, I mean, you get a pie at the football, you probably can't realistically tuck into it till about 20 minutes in.
Always blow on the pie.
Yeah.
Always blow on the pie.
Yeah, blow on it. Yeah, absolutely.
And
break the top crust, let the air out.
If you're going to throw anything, throw ice creams.
Mm. No, don't throw anything at the football.
No.
Yeah. No.
You'd make everyone look like a unicorn.
Don't throw anything at the football. They take the bottle tops away from you so you can't throw those, even though you've got a proper bottle full of water as a missile, which is much better.
You could bring your own bottle top.
Well, maybe it's much like the pie, that's to let it breathe.
Yeah, maybe. But it was like a lovely bottle of red wine. Mm.
Yeah. And if you'd like to get in touch with the show, show at thefootballramble.com.
The study goes on.
Put pie in the subject title.
I should think so. Brighton are through. They beat Derby County 2-1. A little bit of a scare for Brighton late on, although they dominated the match up until that point. Nice to see Ashley Cole among the goals again, eh?
Yeah, 38.
It's his first ever FA Cup goal.
Yeah.
It is.
Hasn't he won the FA Cup more than any other player?
Quite possibly.
But he's never scored in it.
Might be right, yeah. Yeah, I mean, it was his first goal in English football for 6.5 years.
He can't score in English football if he's playing in America, though, can he?
No, I know, but he was, was it 2012 when he last scored? So he left in 2014.
Oh, okay, right, fair enough, yeah. He wasn't really well known to score in a huge amount of goals, anyway.
No, he wasn't.
But that was a great one.
It was very instinctive finish.
Was it a header, wasn't it?
It was.
Yeah,
that's how you do them. Brighton made a lot of changes for this one. A few injuries and whatnot, where Houghton rested some players. They've been very poor in the league of late. Their cup form has been pretty good, though. So it's a nice distraction. It's one of those ones. Whereas Derby, I was looking at the statistics. If Derby, well, they're out all the cups now. By the end of the season, before the playoffs start, they will have played 54 games this season.
Yeah. It's a slog. No, I'll slog. Big Tommy Huddleston in the middle of the park as well.
but you've made the point as well that they've got a lot of younger players in there. Now, Ashley Cole, we've said that was a good signing or not, but he's 38, so there's still a lot of games to come. So it'll be interesting to see how they finish. I mean, we look at the example of Bristol City, who have done very well in cups of late. They fell away a bit last season. But now they're out, you know, they've got to focus on the league, these sides. And if you're one of the other challengers in there in the playoff spots or in the automatic promotion, you would have wanted Derby to go through, I think.
Yeah, I know what you mean. And no one's got back in touch with us about this idea that Bogle and Cole playing fullbacks on each side, it must be the biggest age gap between them. Because I think Bogle's 18. So and Cole's 30.
Well, take it then. If no one has pulled you up on it, then it must be fact.
But yeah, I mean, of course, it's a real slog. I wonder if they have a little bit of time put aside in their team talk so Frank and Ashley can just reminisce about the good old days for half an hour.
I should think so. Yeah. What do we think of Brighton, Jim? Do you fancy them for the cup? Do you think they can beat Manchester City?
Well, this is it, isn't it? They're another one in there that would, you know, perhaps have an eye on it. But I think, you know, depending on how the game goes tonight, what we all want, right, is for whoever wins this game to draw City.
Yes.
Right? So it takes care of one of those. Yeah, that would be great. We would all like to see that. All neutrals anyway, I would think. But I think the other sides, the Watfords, the Wolves, they've got more than Brighton about them, I think.
You'd say Palace probably do as well at this moment.
Just about.
Oh, Derby.
Well.
Derby in the final. Yeah,
imagine it.
Oh, that
Palace,
that's the dream.
Palace-Brighton final.
The Palace-Brighton weird Derby
final. Get
Pardew
out for a half-time dance.
Yeah. I mean, Palace obviously did quite a professional job, as you say, against Doncaster. But Palace can look to the results they've got against the bigger sides and say, well, actually, we've beaten Man City. You know, they draw them in the next round, you know, that Hodgson can draw on those kind of experiences. But Brighton, I mean, but you never know, they're an awkward side to beat. We know what they're like defensively, but I agree, their league form has been particularly poor, so perhaps I wouldn't hold out too much hope for them if they did draw a better side. But they're in the draw, Peter, so we give them respect for that.
I'll give them respect, when
Pete.
They earn my respect.
Okay.
Oh, what have they got to do to
Pete
that?
Will decide,
little
Marcus.
Juggle.
Okay,
a little juggle.
Fair enough. There we are.
Juggling is hard.
Yeah. It is very hard. What about Swansea City? Do they get your respect?
What a goal!
4-1 against Brentford. Which goal? Luke?
The one by is it Dan James?
Yeah,
Daniel
Merchant.
James. Yeah,
the Usain Bolt-esque.
It's like watching Mbappe.
Was it fair to say shop window?
Oh,
well,
massive.
He nearly went to Leeds, of course, and the deal fell through. And Swansea, I mean, it is a real shame actually with Swansea. Because
yeah, he's been linked away because I saw Graham Potter saying that he's going to go.
I feel sorry about Graham Potter. I mean, Swansea, as has been well documented of late, because Hugh Jenkins, the chairman, resigned a couple of weeks ago. It was a well-run club. Much was made of that, and now it's in a bit of disarray.
But they've lost their identity, haven't they?
Yeah. They have lost their identity. That's what the headlines say, and they need money. And you think to yourself,
What they want is more Dan James in the FA Cup. So big sides go, hang on a minute, we'll give you 25 minutes. Thank you.
Yeah. There's a great...
Don't send him on loan to Leeds. Get a big whopping transfer fee for him, for crying out loud.
There's a particular type of goal where someone runs from their own half. When you think of the classic George Weah way, he does a few tricks, or the great Ronaldo.
Got a little bit lucky
that.
Though, George.
Yeah, of course, he did absolutely. Uh-huh. But what
a goal that was.
But that was a different kind of goal to the old, yes, I am going to run from my own half, but yeah. I am so quick, yeah. It's going to take me 3 touches yeah. to get 70 yards. Yeah. I'm just going to bang it and I'm going to leg it past everyone. You yeah. can have 4 or 5 yards on me if you want. I'm still going past
his
you.
His first touch, he knows he's got the beating of both, like 2 or 3 defenders, because yeah. he just knocks it as far as he can.
So fast. Yeah. It was like watching on fast forward.
It was like he'd... like stumbled across a power up on the pit.
It was yeah. a bit, wasn't it? It's like, where did that come from?
A Super Mario Kart mushroom.
Yeah. 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 And Konza was given a red card for bringing him down. And he's thinking, well, if I dive in here, there's a good chance I got the ball. But unfortunately, Dan James.
We can all.
So he turned out being well late for them.
Also, it's great. It's a great move because it's just like, I'm not chasing this idiot again. I'm not bothered about it.
Brentford
that.
Missed a bit of a sitter. Is it Maupay?
Oh, Maupay, yeah. On. That was absolutely. A really wafted. I'm going to say, and I don't know the guy, obviously, but I'm going to say cowardly finish.
No, right.
It's sort of wafted.
It was the right idea. The right idea.
An assertive forward just strikes that hard and low.
Yeah, it needs
hard and low would have hit the keeper.
Oh, I'm trying to do something a bit clever, and you'll love me if it comes in. No,
cheeky
pathetic.
Little dink, Peter. Cheeky little dink,
Peter.
Two or three
much
yards.
Like your handshake, it needs a bit of firming up.
Yeah, it's a dig.
Steady. It really is.
I mean, I agree with him. But
you can't
a dig.
Get hand yeah. Viagra.
Why?
I wish you could.
You can. You grind it up. You rub it in your hand, like Mr. Miyagi.
Mr. Miyagi. Swansea, they reached the FA Cup quarterfinal for the first time in 54 years last season.
4,000.
Way before Hugh Jenkins was born.
Kanu played for him, I think.
I think so. So, you know, big stuff for them getting to the quarterfinals again. And. Again, with all the Premier League sides in there, and I say having a funny season, Swansea, because of probably disarray and whatnot. But old Potter,
it was a really exciting appointment that. And yeah. then they go through the first, I'm probably getting this wrong, I'm going to get pelters, but I'm sure they went through the first half of the season just not conceding. Their defending was really good.
I can't remember, to be honest.
And they sort of lost their way a little bit in terms of their league form. But if they get a decent draw, they can find themselves in the semis.
They'd fancy playing against Millwall, wouldn't they?
But Millwall FA Cup specialists.
Well,
you can't write them off.
Fairly straightforward. I did like Neil Harris saying, I'm honest enough to say that I love the competition.
You weren't honest enough to say what happened with the goal in the last round, were you, Neil?
But he's honest to say that he loves the FA Cup. And
I'm so honest, I'm screaming at people to take the replay of a goal down, which I am sure was a handball, and I'm terrified it's going to be chalked off. If you're interested in how honest I am, that's how honest I am, is what he appeared to say.
He said, cup football suits us because the way we play it can be frantic 100 miles an hour.
I agree with him in all seriousness.
He loves the cup.
On their day, Mill were a good team.
Murray Wallace loves the cup. He loves scoring winners in the cup.
There's a couple of reasons why they're such a good prospect. One, I know this game was away from home, but one, because at home they're great. The stadium is obviously, as we know, quite a difficult one to go and play at. Mm-hmm. And also, just on their day, they're good. They're a good cup team because if they get up for it, they can give anyone a game. And it's not just this season. They've reached more quarterfinals in the last 15 years.
And you've had hot dinners?
No, not that many. In 2004, they got to the final, of course.
Yeah.
In the 15 years since then, they've reached 4 quarterfinals, which is more than Liverpool.
Mm. That's incredible, isn't it?
That's amazing.
Yeah,
For a side like Millwall, and especially their off-field, well-documented problems.
And they were great in that final in 2004 as well.
Oh, come on. Cristiano Ronaldo, you know, Gordon Bennett. Dennis Wise in the centre of the pitch for them, trying to marshal Manchester United.
Yeah.
That's how long ago
that was.
That
was a good fit, wasn't it?
Yeah, Wise at Millwall. Mm, I think so.
Out of order.
Taxi drivers never go south of the river.
But it's true though. I mean, you know, away to Millwall in the cup is not easy. However, I'm pretty sure if you were a Wolves, a Crystal Palace, or a Watford, you'd take Millwall away in the cup, considering who else you could get.
Definitely.
And if you look at the sides left, Jimmy Baby, Man City, Wolves, Watford, Palace, Brighton, Swansea, Millwall, and obviously Chelsea and Manchester United.
There's three massive sides left. Isn't it?
Well, there'll be two massive sides left in the next round. I mean, you could see Man City obviously going all the way and then playing. It was a bit like when they played someone like Stoke. You know, it was a big deal for Stoke to get to the final. And Manchester City obviously won 1-0.
Didn't Stoke have an absolute banger result in the semi-final that year? They were 5-0 or something in the semi.
Do you know, I can't remember who they played in the semi. But in the final, that was when Yaya Toure scored the winner. I think it was it Manchester City's first piece of silverware under that new regime. It was certainly a bit of a landmark one. It was a kind of a, right, here we go. We've got the FA Cup under our formidable belt.
I've got something in the water. I reckon Palace might reach the final.
Do you know what? I'm the same. There's something about Palace,
something
yeah?
About that.
I do.
Yeah, it was 2011. Right, Stoke beat Bolton 5-0 or something.
Right, there you go, yeah. Palace have never won the FA Cup in their history.
Well, the dance. It was all down to the dance. And there won't be any dancing on the
They came very close in the final replays, weren't they, once? Mm. Yeah,
three all against yeah. Manchester United.
They've been close. The right
Thank score. You to everyone who's forwarded on the tweet from Optajaw about the Crystal Palace players. No Crystal Palace player has provided more goals or assists than Ross Townsend, in all competitions this season. So he's there been fundamental
he
to their
He still hasn't
upturn.
Got that fifth Premier League goal. Exactly. Though,
it's right. like he's taking the piss. He'll get on the final day, Pete. Mm. And then we'll have a lovely time.
He'll do it against Newcastle.
Yeah.
I do hope so. All right, after the break, we're going to go down to the Football League. See you in a minute.
Sets up the dubious penalty.
What was that?
Sam Hansen gone moo.
Have we heard that before?
Moo. Yeah, we have.
Oh, that's amazing.
Oh, don't have a cow, man. Yeah. Now, the preview show, sponsored by Bet365, will be with you all on Thursday. We shall wait for tonight's result to see if we need a new best better.
Yeah, Man United to beat Chelsea is the best bet from one Mr. Chris King.
We are pleasure deniers. Delayers.
Yeah. Chris King's a very festive name.
Yeah. Mm. Well done, Chrissy.
Well done, Chris. Let's hope.
Let's go to the Championship. Hey, Norwich beat Bolton 4-0. They're back to winning ways after losing their previous match. Scored a lovely opening goal with Pukki, finishing off a passing move that has done the round on social media. But it is worth a mention, Jim.
Absolutely.
It's goal of the weekend, game. That, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was brilliant. And also just, you know, Norwich just powering on. Mm. Love it.
Well, is they need to, don't they?
Is Pukki's real, real name, real actual nickname, The Finisher, which I quite like.
Is it really?
Because he's Finnish.
That's great. Good. Should be on the basis of the weekend.
The Finisher.
It's absolutely fascinating at the top of the Championship.
Sheffield United currently second, although Leeds have a game in hand.
If Leeds have a game in hand, they go top by a point. And they'll open a bit of a gap. It'll be 4 points to four, so there'll be three teams going over two positions.
Yeah.
Which was the case in League One for a while.
Are you going to give us a little more Stradamus? Who's your fancy?
I feel like Leeds will fall away. I think Norwich and Sheffield United will do it.
Who's going to be Sheffield United?
Yeah.
God, that'd be massive.
Because I think Billy Sharp's banging the goals in.
Massive for Sheffield United.
I really rate Chris Wilder.
Yeah.
And I think Norwich look a quality team who, under Farker, have done their hard yards in the Championship. I think this is their moment. But we all know about Leeds and Bielsa. I personally feel like they might fall away. But
Billy Sharp's like the sort of bit of a Glenn Murray vibe we talked about.
I feel like.
Wait, what about the sides in the champion in the playoffs? Bristol City? Do you think they come through?
Bristol,
yes. They've got
two games in hand, haven't they?
They do.
So,
yeah,
it's a very difficult league to predict because if you go all the way down, I know there's a 9-point gap between 10th and 6th, but if you look at the teams in the top 10, it's most of them are really big clubs.
Yeah.
You go down beyond the bottom six, you've got 7th Derby, 8th Forest, 9th Birmingham, 10th Villa. They're all qualified in terms of a Premier League size team. So it's difficult to pick. I think Norwich and Sheffield United will be the top two. After that, it's very difficult.
Do you think of West Brom, though? A good win against Villa?
They score a lot of goals.
They do score West a lot Brom. Of goals. I think they could be one of the unlucky, like losing the final maybe, you know, scoring a lot of goals, bit of chat about them. They might, I don't know. We shall see. It's easier to predict League One at the moment with Pompey threw away a 3-goal lead to draw 3-all with Southend. They haven't won in six
as well.
Mm. It's the worst football experience I can remember.
It's like you stacked it on dancing isn't it?
Worse than the QPR?
But that was just like wall-to-wall depressing. There was no hope in that.
They're 5 points off second now, Pompey. They led for so long. Luton, though. What about Luton Town? Set a new club record of 20 league games unbeaten. Mick Harford's come in as caretaker last month. Done a remarkable job. Won 6 and drew 1.
Yeah, he's done really well.
Taken over. Luton are on the march, aren't they?
They are. They're doing well. I thought when they lost Nathan Jones, that would be a good bonus for Portsmouth.
Yeah, it turned out not to be the case.
Yeah, I forgot the fact that actually Portsmouth have to win games as well, though. Mm. That's kind of part of it.
Don't get
it
through default.
And we're in a real moment because we've got this situation where Kenny Jackett likes to play 4-2-3-1. That's really solid.
Yeah.
But it doesn't really, or recently, doesn't manufacture many chances. So we go to Southend away, who aren't very good at home, have got a load of injuries. I mean, Chris Powell's Southend, I don't know if you guys saw this, I think they had 4 players in 3 weeks get ACL injuries.
Ooh. Oh, blind.
They've got about 8 or 9 players out for injury. They've been doing a real study of their own training methods and their training
regimen. Well, you're going to have to look at that, yeah.
Yeah, allow Pompey to give you some confidence.
Yeah. No,
but so anyway, so Pompey switched to a 4. I won't go on all day about this, but Portsmouth switched to a 4-4-2 and they look amazing.
Yeah.
Right? They go.
Amazing?
3-0 up.
Yeah.
They were bossing it.
And that second goal was
amazing.
Yeah. With a peach.
But do you know what happened, Jim? And this is where it gets you. Just before half time, Southend score, and you think, right, now I can't enjoy the half time. Because as a Portsmouth fan, 2 goals is never enough. And then the second half, we just completely embarrass ourselves. What he should have done, because Chris Powell changed it, he should have switched back to a 4-2-3-1, kept it solid, and just kept hold of the ball. And we just lost it. We've got no confidence. No, I mean, some guy who crunches all the numbers. You know, one of those guys on the Twitter, he's one of those perverts.
Crunchy
on
Steve.
The Twitter.
he said Portsmouth, that by his calculations, have now got a 25% chance of promotion. We were 5 points clear on
the quantum leap.
Yeah, there's the reference.
It was just the most horrendous afternoon's experience.
Lose to Sunderland in the semi-final of the playoff.
I don't know if we'll get to the playoffs. I think we've got a 9 or 10 point cushion, and we cannot buy a win.
If they finish seventh,
hundreds of games to go at this point.
I know. That is
but
true.
For the penalty, for Southend's penalty, Chris Powell looked away, didn't he? While
he
wasn't Simon Cox
stepped
up.
He wasn't taking it.
What do you think about that? I don't think it sends the right message.
I agree. I don't like it when managers do that.
Yeah, I
guess the player wouldn't be aware of that, though.
Yeah, all true, but still,
he'll find out. If Jim knows, the player will know.
Did you see the decision making process from the Pompey player to award that penalty?
Yeah.
I mean, what?
Yeah, it was very.
It was absolutely baffling.
It's been a while since there's been any comic relief.
I'll go further. It's been a while since I controlled an actual football. So I don't know what I'm doing here. Oh, sorry, everyone. Oh, but I just. Do you know what?
Oh, you said you weren't going to talk all day on this.
It is cathartic to talk about it.
Is it?
But it's
but
making
not now.
Me. It's making me experience the whole thing again.
Not in front of the listeners. All right, let's move on to League Two. Oldham drew 1-1, which means Paul Scholes has got 4 points from his first 2 matches in charge. They were denied a win with the injury time equaliser, of course. Nice to see old Scholesy in charge of Oldham.
They had a banging result in their first game.
They did. 4-1, was it? 4-1?
Yeah. And I wonder whether just the idea of being managed by Paul Scholes would be an incredible experience for these players, but
yeah,
after that wears off, you've got to wonder.
Well, we'll see what he's made of.
He's very hands on. Apparently, he likes kicking the football around.
Oh, you can imagine.
A couple of lads said he can still get a game. He can still easily.
He's got to be careful though that you don't go into the kind of Glenn Hoddle territory. With
yeah,
that.
When you just play, I'd like, if I were him, I'd just play.
No, he didn't.
Just play.
Just have a game.
If he can still play, play.
No, when asked about being manager on the PVC, he said if at any point he'd wondered what on earth he was doing at Boundary Park in charge of a lower league club, yes, he said all week.
Oh, right.
But, having second thoughts already.
And I'm interested to see what happens if and when Salford get promoted to the Football League.
Well, that's it.
Because he co-owns Salford, yeah. Yet he manages Oldham.
So does David Beckham now.
Yeah.
He got 10% stake.
Do you love the idea? You must love the idea that Sol Campbell and Paul Scholes are managing in League Two at the moment.
Yeah, more Campbell, I think, because of the Paul Scholes thing.
There's a lot of like.
Oh, we've talked about Campbell, though. We all love that.
But there's a lot of like cause. Like, there's a lot of pieces being written at the moment about the causiness of football, about petrochemical companies and states actually owning footballs and stuff. And then there's also like players, managers, sons being players and moving them, moving with them from club to club and stuff like that.
Yeah,
there's a lot of that around.
I don't think that applies in this case, though, Pete. Purely because if you're Paul Scholes and you are keen on managing and you've not managed before, I mean, League Two's all right. And then I mean the guy's been a world-class football player. Mm. Surely he's able to start in League Two.
You said that, like, Salford, like, if Salford get to...
Yeah.
There's obviously a conflict of interest
the thing
there.
Well, the thing is with Scholes, the difference is Sol Campbell wants to manage. So he took what he was given.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? And people were, you know, made much of that. But he's at Macclesfield Town now. Whereas Paul Scholes loves Oldham. And if it's a case of that he only wants to manage Oldham and nowhere else, it depends if Paul Scholes wants a career in management beyond that. Because there was always talk of him going to play for Oldham at the end of his career, which obviously didn't happen. Mm. And that'll be interesting because if it's just the one club for him. If you're an Oldham fan, you might think, well, actually, that could be good in a sense because he might want to sort of stick around for a long time. But in another sense, well, actually, it might be bad because it might just be a case of, oh, well, I'm a big fan and I want to manage the club I'm a fan of. Whereas,
but he might have an interest in improving himself.
Exactly. So it would be fascinating to see how that one works out.
What I was going to say was sometimes, and we've discussed this before, you get players like Paul Scholes, Ryan Giggs that have played exclusively at the top level. So for them, managing a club at a far lower level is almost an irrelevance because it's a very different sort of set of skills, effectively. To manage elite players than it is to get the best out of limited players.
Absolutely. No, I think that applies. I mean, when we've occasionally done a ramble meets or whatever, I've spoken to players when we've done that, and sometimes off the record, I mean, I won't name any names, obviously, but they'll say that, you know, it's really, I went to go and play for a team a couple of divisions down because I was coming towards the end of my career, and I absolutely hated it because, to me, the players just didn't want it enough. They didn't have. They weren't made of the same stuff
you
as I was.
Pay for your own tracksuit.
Yeah, I'm not paying for my own tracksuit. No, but they.
I know what
it's
you
a
mean.
Serious point. So that would apply to management as well, Jim. Right? Because if you're going to have to be a very good communicator to get over the idea that if you're Paul Scholes at Oldham, you're thinking, well, I would just ping that ball over there.
Yeah.
Or I would just bring the ball under control here. And I'd have seen that danger already. And those players may not have that skill in their makeup. And you've got to find a way of communicating that to them. Because you can't just say, well, if it were me, I would just stick it at the top corner.
Well, everyone's gone to see like a lower league side with like a leading light who's obviously come to the end of his career and stuff. And he just looks terrible. Peter Bees at Hartlepool, watching him play. Dreadful. He was putting the balls into spaces where players should have been running into.
Yeah.
But he just looked like he was losing the ball.
Prozanecki at Portsmouth.
Mm. There we go.
Yeah, you see.
When Prozanecki scored that amazing goal for Portsmouth, you should watch it for the celebration, because the players that celebrate with him, the names besmirch that man's reputation. It's like Neil Barrett and...
I'll leave off. Old Neely.
Bazzo. And Courtney Pitt. Just players you've never heard of.
We've had enough Portsmouth chat.
Sorry, mate.
All right, it's time for the WhatsApp group, everybody.
We've got a little jingle for that, Pete.
WhatsApp!
For God's sake!
Welcome to the WhatsApp group, everybody. Portsmouth! No, I joke, of course. This was announced last week. Jose Mourinho will host his own show on RT, formerly known as Russia.
He's today. Managing the troll farm. That's what's really going on here.
Get an extra 10% out of them.
Yeah.
It's a match made in heaven, isn't it?
It's a perfect fit.
Absolutely.
As I said at the time, he'll be doing pop gigs for the Usmanovs soon enough.
Yeah.
Robbie Williams.
Or managing, what was it, Terek Grozny?
Yeah.
That was
a team, yes.
Are they still around?
I'm not sure.
Maybe best not to talk about it.
He's having an interesting sort of outside of football type career because fell over that velvet rope, fell on that ice,
and he's fallen into a chat show on RT.
Yeah. Mm. Is it a chat? It's not a sports chat show either, is it? It's just a general show.
Is that right?
No, it's like a Graham Norton type show.
No.
See, I don't know now. Is it based in London as well? Because I know they sometimes RT broadcast.
Do you know what? It might well be. I don't know.
It will be, actually, yeah.
Yeah, pleasant for the jet. Let's start the
show. Oh, look at this website! Imagine him doing that.
I think it's a Champions League show, was it? He's going to be watching the Champions League and then obviously sort of commenting.
So he's pumped it in, basically.
Yeah, but obviously like presented. It's never a good idea to mix up the team.
I think you should watch it. Crib some highlights.
Yeah, let us know how he gets on.
Use them as jingies.
Jingos.
All right then. Pete, said at the top of the show you've found a new fancy. I don't know if he's a new fancy, but Japan international, although he's actually stopped playing for the Japan national side. Mike Havanar.
Yeah.
So your average Japanese name, of course.
No, you
said Dutch parentage.
You sent a WhatsApp around, I think it was yesterday, saying, look at this man.
Mm. And we did.
And we did. And he is a very, very handsome man.
Well, I was aware of Mike Havanar for a little while, but I hadn't really noticed how strikingly handsome that man is.
Yeah. And now you've noticed, what are you going to do?
Try and kiss him. Mm, I'm going to go to Bangkok where he plays, and I'm going to try and kiss him.
Mm-hmm.
Go for it.
He plays for Bangkok United.
Yeah.
He used to play for Iniesta's side, Vissel Kobe, didn't he?
Yeah, he's played all over.
He's played in the J-League, he's played in the Eredivisie, briefly in Spain. It's quite a fascinating career.
Look at him.
He looks like an ice hockey player. Yeah,
cut glass on that jawline.
But he has Dutch parentage, so it's quite interesting because of the very, very low levels of immigration in Japan.
Mm. It's weird, sort of, have it. His dad is a goalkeeper for Honda, I think, or one of those work sides. And he's a naturalized Japanese guy. And he's born in Hiroshima, I think.
He's
a Japanese international and he's not very good.
But he's
handsome.
He played, 14 times or something like that for the Japan national side?
Yeah. 18 times.
And he's a 6'3" striker or something and he's scored about 3 goals for the national side.
He's actually 6'5".
Is he 6'5"? Yeah. Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Massive guy.
I'll tell you something, what a plan B for Japan. I mean, come on. Yeah. Get the big man up.
We'll tweet a picture of him looking at his glamorous, smouldering best.
I'm just basically looking for crushes for 2019. That's
you found
it. He's up there for me. So,
He's only 31, so he's a bit young for you, Peter.
I don't know why we're...
I'm just glad he's over 30.
Yeah. It's your 38th birthday coming up, as we know. So
yeah, exactly.
He'd jump out of a cake for you.
You wouldn't fit him in one.
Mike,
have
he sliced the cake with his own jawline.
Yeah. I don't know why this is in the show, but it's
I bloody do.
Yeah.
WhatsApp
group, isn't it?
It's hashtag content a reason, because that is hashtag content.
Hashtag well quiet week.
And some of the other stuff Pete put on the WhatsApp group could no be talked about.
Not for public consumption.
That's the problem. When we planned the WhatsApp group section, we underestimated the amount of filth.
How difficult a task it was for
from
me.
From PD.
I do not send filth on the WhatsApp group.
You're poisoning our minds.
You may not consider it filth.
No.
But by the rest of us,
and that is the problem.
You've become so desensitized, you've got absolutely no compass anymore.
I was making it to Jean.
Yeah.
I just zoomed in too much.
Get off the dark web.
Yeah, exactly. All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble. It's been a ruddy pleasure. Say goodbye, Luke Moore.
Goodbye. Portsmouth play tomorrow night, so let's hope they can put it to bed and get over this hump.
Just one more
pray
mench.
With me, guys.
One more mench. Pete Donaldson, say
bye.
Goodbye. Jimmy, say goodbye.
See ya.
And it's goodbye from me.
This was a Radio Staccato production.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.